Michelle, so I know that being, one of the prominent hairstylists, New York City hairstylists, and that you've been involved with New York Fashion Week for a number of years. And 13, it's ongoing now, matter of fact, right?
Yeah, 13 years to be exact. It's today is the final day. I believe either today or yesterday was the final day. It started last week, Thursday, officially. It actually officially started Friday because of COVID, everything had changed, but they did have some men's shows starting. Some shows started on Wednesday last week, but it's officially over as of today. But there'll be some lingering on shows also as well, off-site.
And these are, yeah, you did mention that they're men and women. Is there any order, or they go on simultaneously? I mean,
it's simultaneous. It's men's first. They started doing that a few years back. They would do men's shows first because doing men and women's shows at the same time was too complicated. It was a lot of shows. You had to run back and forth. It was a lot of scheduling conflicts. So they started men's fashion week, a few days before. And then it would continue on to the regular New York Fashion Week.
Oh, okay. Okay.
A few days ago, I had the honor of attending. This season, I sat out, not working because our sponsors didn't come through for the shows with the lead that I work with Matthew Curtis. So the shows, he got canceled. So I didn't do any shows. I had the opportunity to do other shows, but they weren't paying. So, Fashion Week is kind of tricky. I got a few calls, but I just chose to sit this season out and just be an attendee for a change.
Oh, okay. So you were in a position to just observe. Tell us a little bit about how this works and, the frequency of Fashion Week. And tell us what you encountered, yeah. Did it meet your expectations, stuff like that?
Mm-hmm, definitely. So the frequency is, it shows twice a year in New York, which is February and September. So September show, we're usually showing for spring, summer of the following year. So they did spring, summer 2023 this season. February season of 23 is going to be fall, winter of 2023. So it's always one season ahead that we, the show will be for the following season that we are. That they show clothing for. So all of the designers, from top designers to emerging designers, are showing all over the city. I could, tell you this much. It's not as hectic and crazy as it used to be. It originated in Parsons School of Design Fashion Week. It was seven designers that came up. Seven designers on 7th Avenue. That's how they started it. And then it branched out to, a lot more people got involved. It branched out to Bryant Park. They call it the Tents. So they were there for quite a few years, and then they got booted out, and they moved to Lincoln Center. And that's when I started. I was working with 7 on 7, which is seven designers on 7th Avenue, for a couple of years. And then I had the opportunity to work with this stylist who was starting her own PR business. So that's how I got exposed to Fashion Week. But Lincoln Center was phenomenal being there, but they had the issues. So Lincoln Center got booted out as well. The community didn't like it. So now they're at Chelsea Piers and Spring Studios are the main locations. So they have designers that do their own thing in hotels, studios, photo studios, different museums, art museums, all over the city. They used to have Fashion Night Out, which they don't do anymore because it was too much. The communities didn't like it. It was traffic everywhere. It's still traffic everywhere during Fashion Week. So I experienced the show. I had the opportunity to be an attendee to a show called this season, Emerge Fashion Runway Show of New York Fashion Week. This was created by a Black woman named Dionne Williams. She's the creator of Emerge, and she's also president of D. Williams Public Relations Group. So she decided to get emerging Black designers during Fashion Week because the platform is not there for us. We weren't allowed in Lincoln Center, or you couldn't afford to be at Lincoln Center because it costs like probably $100,000 or more to do a show that was only like 10 minutes. but the preparation of it is costly. You know, you have to get PR, you have to get a team, hair, makeup, you need sponsors, sponsors to help you actually pay for it. You know, you have your stylist, you have, it's just a whole team of people that you need. And it could be very expensive if you don't have the money or if you don't have sponsors. So Miss Williams came up with this group that emerged to give a platform for Black designers to show, you know, showcase their clothing line, which is amazing. Because, and we also have another one called CFDA, but it's not just for Blacks. It's for any designer that is trying to get out there on the platform. I've met quite a few designers that I actually do photo shoots with twice a year that I've been working steady with from a lot of these shows, just being introduced to these people backstage and experiencing Fashion Week gave me a lot of connections. You know, I was able to network a lot. But the Emerge show that I attended, they also honored, they also have an award that they give for Fashion Innovator Award. That's what it's called. And this year they honored Misha Hilton, who for 25 years has been a Renaissance woman at the forefront of fashion, the fashion industry since the early 90s. She dressed Mary J. Blige, Little Kim. She's the fashion icon behind their fashion looks, their iconic looks. So anytime you saw Mary J. Blige, especially when she came out with her first album, the 411, that was Misha Hilton. You know, they gave her opportunity. She was young, she was okay. Black. You know, that you know, was hard to trust people at that time. And Andre Harrell and Puff Daddy gave her opportunity. You know, she actually has a child with Puff Daddy at that time, but that had nothing to do with it. She was just extremely talented. And they gave her opportunity to be the stylist of all of these artists. And she also dressed Beyonce.
Wow.
You know, Missy Elliott, Faith Evans, Sean Combs, who was P. Diddy, and Kamora Lee Simmons, Russell Simmons' ex-wife, and 50 Cent. So she was honored that night, and the presenter was Bevy Smith, who's also a media personality and a best-selling author and actress. So she presented her with the award, and then right after that, they had six emerging designers. Steve Edwards from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
He Justin Haynes, his line is called Just 10th. Justin Haynes, he's an international designer and tailor. So his line was phenomenal. They also had Malcolm Staples. It's a custom made fit. His line was black and white. I loved his clothes. The next one was Makarasi Couture. And it's a brand child of Senegalese. It's a Queen-based designer who creates custom beaded gowns. And they were beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Another designer was a team, Ivan and Aaron. And there is an American luxurious unisex fashion label. You know, they create high-end crafted suits and resort wear with extremely bold prints. So the next one was Scalo. Scalo's South African.
Okay.
Fashion brand that represents quality and style. And he's been out since 2009. It was founded in Johannesburg by Soweto born Solo Madupe. So that was exciting to see because they had designers from all over the country and the world. So,
okay.
So they can find all of these designers. We'll add them in the show notes where they can find these designers. They're all on Instagram. There was another designer that I met. You know, you could tell people that are artists or fashion designers. This young man, he was at waiting in line, and you know, I got there early because I already know how it goes with shows. Being backstage, this time I was up front, you know, as a guest, but I know seeing in the past how the lines are long. You know, people are waiting in line just to get in. So I actually got there early and I was in line. I was the first one, me and my friend were the first ones in line behind press. So, which was exciting because I got to see some old friends, old photographers. And I'm like, hey, Michelle, you know. So it was just nice to be an attendee for a change. I also was able to meet Misha Hylton at the end because I'm such a, you know, a groupie and I like to network a lot. So she was outside. And another friend of mine, like I said earlier, I did a show at Grand Central Station. That was like one of my first shows outside of 7-on-7 in the, you know, in the, I'll call it the white media version of New York Fashion Week. I was in, I met her there. She started as a stylist. She was there Tuesday night and she's friends with Misha Hylton. So she saw me, we spoke, and I was like, you think I can get her autograph? I didn't even want her picture. Like, I just wanted the autograph, you know, because that's a keepsake. And
understood.
Yeah, photos, memories too, but, you know, autographs. So I didn't have anything to write on, and I did end up having a business card from Harlem Shake. So on the back of it, there was room to write. So I, you know, I asked the security guard, can you go find me a pen? I need to get an autograph. He ran and got me a pen because we were the first ones online and we were talking to him. So he got me a pen. So I asked my friend Tamiko White, who was a stylist. So you got to look her. I'll give you her information as well. She's been out there. I did her show in 2011. And I continued to follow her and her growth. And she also continued to follow me as well. So I said, you think I could get her autograph? She said, wait here. So she, you know, we were right next to Misha. And she was like, Misha, I want to introduce you to someone. Totally shocked. She's like, this is Michelle. She, you know, she did my hair and she did hair at my first show. You know, like introduced me. And she didn't have to do that. You know, I was grateful for that. And she's like, she wants your autograph. So I gave her the card. She signed it. And she said, it was so nice to meet you. And I gave her my business card. And, you know, hopefully she still has it. But that was, you know, really nice. Just to see people that I worked with in the past remember me. And
Right.
And you never know what can happen. Because, you know, at this point in my life and stage of my life with fashion, I've been doing it for so long, 13 years. I kind of feel like I want to get into another branch of it instead of working backstage doing hair. And I noticed that about myself the last season that I did work. I really didn't want to do anything. They call me OG. I just wanted to watch over to make sure they were following the lead's direction because he's particular about hair. And, you know, I know his patterns. I know everything about him. And he trained me. You know, his work ethics are, you know, similar to mine, you know, being in corporate America. But, you know, he also has his own thing out in the UK. You know, he owns five salons. And he's also, he just opened up a vegan restaurant.
So yeah, who is this again?
Matthew Curtis.
This is the guy you normally work with.
Yeah, I've been working with him for years. So 11 years with him, but 13 in the industry. You know, the first couple of years was with 7-on-7. But I've only worked with him. I've worked with other leads. I can't say is more than really a handful that I've worked with outside of Matthew because my work ethics are different and I'm real particular about how I work. And I've led shows. Matthew has given me the opportunity to lead a lot of shows. He's put me on the forefront of a lot of things, you know. With him coming out early, you know, was non-pay. You know, most Fashion Week was voluntary, you know. Some are getting paid now because Tresemme is the lead sponsor for the liquid products. But just the opportunities that I got from him, it shows in my work now and the things that I've accomplished. So, but like I said, you know, as far as hair, I'd rather like be a lead and let them do the work or, you know, be an educator, brand ambassador, right, which is what I am with the tool products. You know, I'm kind of... not interested as much as doing hair and being in everyone's head. I just want to be the fore seat, you know, look over, watch over. You know, I put in my time.
Yeah, that's time. I mean, you know all the nooks and crannies and all, what could go wrong, yeah, and what, you know, and, yeah, and what and what is right, you know, and how to put on a good show.
Exactly. But I also want to mention the sponsors that Emerge had, which is amazing. They had Ebony Magazine sponsored them, Cavassier, the liqueur.
Okay.
Just amazing. Ambie Skincare. Remember Ambie from back in the 70s?
No, I don't remember that one.
Ambie Skincare. They were always a sponsor on the Ebony Magazine inside, you know, as a cover. And then they had a Black-owned hair care product line. And also, there was a school that came from D.C., a beauty school. It's Bennett Career Institute. They came from D.C., and they did all of the hair and makeup, which was a phenomenal, you know. And they also used Misha Hilton's students from her. She has an academy, a fashion academy, that the students came in as stylists for the show as well, which was amazing. So I'll put all of this in the show notes. Misha Hilton Fashion Academy stylist assistants were there. It was just great to see all Black everything, and it was a great show. You know, I've went to, you know, I hate to say it, like Black shows, and you know, it's a growing phase for them. So some of them, I mean, nothing compared to this one. This was just a phenomenal. It was organized well. You know, they had their sponsors. You know, everybody, you can tell that the team that organized this really did an amazing job. You know, they did an amazing job. So I had a good time. That just made it great for me that I only attended one show, but it was well worth it. And thank you to I Am Asia Hunter, who's a full figure model. Congratulations to her, because she was supposed to be, she's training to be in the next February. She's taking classes with them to be in their next show for February for next season. But she had tickets and she could not go, so she gave me the tickets. So thank you to Aisha for giving me the tickets. And I want to shout her out because she just became a model for a hair model for QVC.
So, oh, great. That's the one you see on TV, QVC.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to, I would love to have her on the show. I hope, you know, this will be in there as well. So I'm going to, she's a beautiful young lady, and she's been for years trying to get to this point in her life, and congratulations to her. So, Aisha Hunter, thank you so much. Yeah. So I had a good time. I had two tickets. I took a friend of mine, Dana Walker Boyd, who we interviewed. She came because she was also in the fashion industry years ago before she got into real estate. So she had a great time. We really enjoyed it. It was very tasteful, organized. It's just a phenomenal show. And kudos to Misha Hilton. She deserved it. She, you know, 30 years in the industry. Good for her. She made a mark. And she's also in Macy's. She collaborated with INC.
Okay. Okay.
Check her out.
INC is what again? What?
It's Inc. It's a designer clothes brand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
She collaborated with them on some projects, and she's officially at Macy's.
All right. So would you consider that the shows are normalized? Everything is normalized now versus, you know, I'm talking about COVID, you know, post-COVID, actually. Everything is back to normal?
Everything's back to normal. That's what I saw. They didn't have any COVID restriction. They had the signs up, but, you know, no one wore masks, you know, that I saw. Everybody was next to each other. The crowd was on, you know, everybody was on top of each other. I mean, seats right next to each other. You know, they didn't have any privacy spacing, as, you know, like we did before. Last season was hard. You know, you had to prove everything, you know, COVID shots, stuff like that. So, yeah, everything to me is back to normal from what I saw. Yes.
All right. Fantastic. Anything unusual happen?
Well, you do see a lot of great stuff, you know. You see people that are, you know, they're not in the industry. Now, the only thing I don't like, and I don't want to be, like, prejudiced against it, is the fact that anybody could go to the shows now. You can buy a ticket, anybody can go. So, during this show, you know, there's always one person, you know. It's the etiquette. They don't have the etiquette because you could tell they've never been to a show before. So, you know, they would shout out. The person was, it was a female. She was shouting out stuff. And everybody's like, would you shut up? You know, it wasn't disrespectful, but she was just acknowledging, you know, amen. You know, when someone spoke and she, you know, when instead of clapping, she would say amen. You know, it was like an attention thing as far as I was concerned.
It her favorite or did she do that for, you know, multiple designers?
She did that during the award ceremony.
Wow.
For Misha Hylton. And when the music was playing, she was the only one standing up dancing. You know, so you could tell, you know, some people are not used to certain things. I could tell it was her first show, you know, which I was excited for her because that's something, you know, that the community wasn't open up to unless you were, you know, a designer yourself, a stylist. A buyer, the stores, you know, Macy's, or it was just really for buyers and store owners and PR. You know, they didn't let, you know, outside people that weren't in the industry in, and celebrities, you know, it was just for a certain type of audience. But now you can just purchase a ticket and you could be in a VIP seat. Sitting next to a celebrity, you know what I mean? So it's all about the money. That's the only thing that I noticed the past few years, even prior to COVID, I think the year before that, maybe the past 5 years, that one, hair leads would charge for you to be on their team, which I think was outrageous. Why would I have to pay you to work for free, right? And on top of it, the lead was getting paid. So I kind of thought that was kind of shady, and I won't name names, but I do know of some high industry hairstylists that was charging fees to be on their team. And they would guarantee that you'll get XYZ shows, you'll get media attention, you know, but you're really not, because only it's the normal thing we were doing anyway. You know, we're getting on the shows, you know, media is going to be there. Anyway, like, what are you promising me? I'm not going to be the key makeup artist that's going to get the attention or the write-up. You are. So, you know, it was just people were groupies. They just wanted to be a part of Fashion Week so bad that they would pay. So a lot of people would contact me during Fashion Week to ask me how to get in. And then I realized, you know, I was doing it, giving people information. Then I stopped because I'm like, you know, I don't even know these people. You're not even following me. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you like, if you Google New York Fashion Week leads and stuff like that, sometimes articles come up about me that I don't even know is out there. And that's when the people would, you know, well, can I be your assistant? I'm like, nope, I don't even know you. Number one, I said, this is the advice I could give you. But now I'm not doing that anymore because it's like, you know, they get the advice and then they're on their own. They don't even tell me, hey, Michelle, thank you for the referral I got on this show. Maybe you should do it too. And I'm like, okay, give me the information. And then come to find out they paid to be on that show. And I said, no, I don't work like that. I'm not paying anybody to be on this show. I'd rather sit down, sit it out if I have to pay you. My experience should, you know, be enough. So that's the only thing that I don't like is that, you know, it used to be so exclusive that now anybody can go. Anybody can go to the show. And, you know, not to say that they don't deserve to, but it's like it's changing, you know. Everything is about, you know, money now. I know they need money to, you know, have the show. It costs money to rent these places.
Right.
You know? I understand that, you know. But I would think, you know, you let your sponsors, they're the ones paying for these things. So, I don't know. I just feel like, you know, I shouldn't have to pay, you know. And the big shows are not like that. These are the off-site shows where outside of Spring Studio and Chelsea Pier, those are the on-site shows. Those are the main locations that are very expensive to be in. So those shows are free if you're invited, right? So
that's invitation only, though. Yeah,
right. Invitation only, or yeah. So I got an invite that, you know, the Aisha Hunter was invited, That's how I got it. She couldn't go, so she was able to transfer the tickets to me. So that was an invite. So the lady that was up singing and amen and this, that, and the other, she paid for her ticket. I guess she said, I paid for it. I'm going to act the way I want to act. So, but they paid for it. And then, you know, you can even pay for a VIP. VIP seats, you get gifts. They had gifts, you know.
They had a gift basket thing going on.
Yeah, they have a gift bag, Cavassier gift bag. And they had sponsors with all of the sponsors. They put, you know, the Ebony magazine was in it. Because I looked at it. It was, you know, I was sitting right behind a VIP seat. And my girlfriend was like, let's move up. I was like, no, these seats are assigned for a reason. Right? I said, if we move, we lose our seat. The person come, we got to get up. I'm not doing that. I've been to shows like that before where I was backstage and I was able to see the shows and I was sitting somebody's VIP. I was able to get keep the gift because the person never showed up. But I said, you know, she's like, well, it's 10 to 7. The show's about to shut. So I said, believe you me, these VIP people will show up right before the show starts. And sure enough, all of them showed up. It was a lot of VIP seats empty. But I was like, you know, you could pay, which is cool. You know, it's nothing wrong with it if you have the money. But yeah, that's the only thing I don't like is that you have to pay for these shows now. But like I said, they're the offsite ones.
But don't you think that is a little bit more accessible? It's a little bit more accessible to pay versus being invited, because you know, that's very narrow.
Yeah, because you're paying for it. You could pay. Yeah, you could pay for it because once you pay for VIP, they actually had an after party. Right, they invited everybody, but guess what? VIP is going to be the ones getting all of the special attention, not you, because I was general admission, right?
So even though you pay.
Yeah, right. They have different categories for it. You know, the after party does not mean it's for you. You can go, but you're not going to get the amenities, right?
Okay. They've already got a tier pricing, basically, top of the invitation. Some people may not have to pay. Yeah.
Right. That's what I was going to get into next. They have tier pricing. They have it. You know, I get the show's email. I'm on the email subscription list for New York Fashion Week. And they're always sending, you know, you can get your tickets this way. Last year, I don't know if you heard of Afterpay. It's like a new way of paying and buying goods. It's like kind of like layaway. But they're a sponsor. They're an official sponsor. And last year they were giving away tickets, but I didn't read the email right away. So, you know, sometimes they'll hold tickets for certain contests and stuff like that. But they have tiers that you can pay. And I think the highest tier was like $10,000. And that tier, you get to be with the celebrities. You take photos with them. You know, it's a lot that goes with that, with those tiers. They have different categories of it. And, you know, it depends on what you want and how you want to be. Because when I got there, they did have the entrance for VIP. And then they had the entrance for general admission.
Oh, they got it. So, okay. Yeah. That makes sense, though, for security reasons.
It does, because Aisha had VIP ticket, but once she transferred it, it became a general ticket, general admission. So okay. I thought I was getting VIP. I was like, no, I'm on the list. She was like, no, you're not. So, and then I called her and she said, no, look at your ticket, Michelle, it's general admission. Because she transferred it, they wouldn't give me the VIP. She would have been VIP, but you know.
Okay.
So they do have tier levels of VIP, yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right, good.
What you want, you know, what you want out of Fashion Week, you can get a package to see multiple shows, right? If you go through New York Fashion Week, they have their tiers. I think the $10,000 included multiple shows and the top designer shows. One of my friends, we interviewed her, Kia Sterling. She did the Coach show. She did the Fendi show. She was on some really top-notch shows this season. I mean, she's an incredible hairstylist.
That's Akia. She was on our show,
yeah.
right?
Kia yeah. Sterling. She was on our show, and she had some phenomenal shows this season. And she also had her first billboard at 42nd Street. She did a photo shoot in a magazine, and they actually had it's still there, I think, a billboard at 42nd Street. So her career is advancing even more. She's such a talented artist. You know, I love her to death. I'm proud of her and the accomplishments that she's been making as well. And Philly Fashion Week for her, because she's the key for makeup and hair, starts next week on the 20th for her.
Yeah, she is out of Philly too, right?
Yes, and she's the lead hair, and Alexis is a key makeup. So I actually met a designer who was in line with me, and I took photos with him that's actually doing the Philly. He's from Philly. And I was like, oh, because, you know, like I said before, you could tell when someone's like a designer or something. He had in this, you know, sparkly pink suit, shiny suit. And I'm like, you're a designer, right? He's like, yeah. I was like, where are you from? He's like, Philly. I said, oh, you doing Philly Fashion Week? He said, yes. I said, so, you know, Kia Sterling? He said, yes, of course. I said, oh, man. You know, it's just small world. But anyway, the circle is small. It's a huge industry, but the circle is small.
I'll
say that much. But, you know, I was glad, you know, just to be a spectator. You know, I missed it working, but I also noticed that, you know, some people that I did work with, they were doing shows. And, you know, like I said, there's also a division, you know. I don't know if this will hurt me or not, but I don't really care. There's a division in the industry. You know, they rather have, still, I see it, white stylists behind the stage.
Could you elaborate a little bit more?
Oh, you only see a team of white people doing hair and makeup. I'm noticing that's coming back. At one time, there was a protest against it, especially with the black models, where they didn't have models behind backstage at Lincoln Center, you know. Iman, Tyra Banks, and Naomi Campbell, they were all, you know, speaking about it at one time. And this is how all the black models started getting on the runway. But it was also an issue backstage with not having black hairstylists able to do black hair, you know. And for years, I was the only black, you know, to be honest, on Matthew's team. He's not racist. I just felt like, you know, there weren't stylists talented enough to be on his team. And then I started bringing, Kia worked with me. I brought it in with the team. You know, I started bringing black stylists in. And then I think I got to the point where it got to a point where I said, well, there's not enough black stylists. I'm going to bring my friends in. And, you know, then I realized that some of these girls weren't as talented as I thought they were. So it kind of hurt me, and I didn't have them back on the team. So, you know, your judgment, you know, that judgment of bringing these stylists in, you know, Matthew kind of got tired of training people and stuff. So I stopped doing it. You know, Kia was a number one. You know, Matthew loved her. And the other girls from Philly, they were all great. But, you know, then it got to the point that I realized, you know, it's something that I was trying to change. And I think I was going about it the wrong way. So, but my thing is, like, I did notice that they rather see white people. They're very racist backstage, right? It's not even just color.
It's still that way because
To me, it is, because I'm seeing it. I'm seeing the pictures, and I'm seeing a lot of white teams. Like, I don't see black teams unless it's a black show. You know, black designers only want black hairstyles because they understand, you know, like this show emerged, they had, you know, different sized women. There weren't any full figured women, but they were a little bigger than a zero. You know what I mean?
Right,
like a size 8. Like one girl I saw, you know, she had a shape like me. They weren't like bony girls. You know, they had some meat on them, you know, shapely. Because black designers, that's what they do. They design for us, not for white girls, you know, skinny white girls. So that changed. But I do see if it's not a black designer and they're white designers, you know, you're not going to see too many black leads, you know, on those shows, because the black leads are going to bring their crew. You know what I mean? So when it's these bigger designers, you know, like Coach and Fendi,
right?
You know, those are all white girls, right? They're all white girls. They might have one black, you know, whatever black model it is that's popular at that time, right? And it's going to be a white stylist, you know. And then, you know, as I'm seeing the pictures, it's all white. It's all white teams, you know. And it is what it is. That's what it is until you create your own, like Miss Williams did, Emerge. She's dealing with all black everything, with the exception of, you know, Cavassier. You know, I don't know if they're black on. I don't think so. But
they're an alcoholic beverage company, right?
Yes, yes. And I know a lot of black rappers, you know, promote it, stuff like that. It's been in songs or whatever the case may be. But Cavassier, you know, that was a huge sponsor because they had bars all over the place where you could get, you know, shots. They were giving shots out. You know, they had the big bottles. I think the VIP were the ones that got the big bottles, stuff like that. So when you get big sponsors, you know, it makes a big difference. But like I said, I do still see a division, because they also, it's not your ethnicity, it's also your look, you know, if you're fat, if you're ugly, you know, you got to be photogenic, you know, and you can't be fat backstage because you're taking up two spaces.
Too much space. Oh, yeah, you did mention that in our first interview. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're very, very critical about certain things. You know, even I noticed with, you know, because you got hair, makeup and nails, massage, everything backstage, right? So I noticed, you know, a lot of makeup artists are Asians. I mean, not makeup artists, nail techs are Asians because that's what they like to do. And I guess they don't have many, you know, other ethnicities doing it. I very rarely see, you know, like a white girl or anyone outside of the Asian ethnicity doing nails backstage. So,
right.
And they do, you know, they do manicures and pedicures backstage too. So it's just, you know, categorized, unfortunately, or, you know, this is just who these people are around all the time. They're not around black artists or, you know, they don't know black artists or, you know, or it, they'll get a black artist, they'll post something. I did see something looking for hair braiders for Fashion Week. Because white people don't know how to braid cornrows, stuff like that. Some of them are learning because they know that's where they need to be. You know, you have to be versatile in that industry. So, yeah, I mean, I still see it, you know, and I kind of feel like, you know, some people I brought into Fashion Week that were not supposed to be on our team for long periods of time. Right. They're still out there and I see them doing shows, but they don't call me. I'm like, listen, you know, everybody don't do what you do. You know, I hook you up, you know, you would think the favor is returned, but it's not. That's just how people, they're not thinking about you because they're doing their journey. They're not worried about, oh, Michelle got me in the show. Let me look out for her. They don't do that. They don't do that.
It's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
It's unfortunate, yeah. But that's the industry, you know, until you make a change like Miss Deion Williams did. She created her own for, remember FUBU, For Us, By Us?
Yeah.
They were there. They were at the show because she announced them out. She shouted them out. She shouted out a lot of people that was in the audience, and I said, wow. Yeah, but they sold it too, FUBU. I think when it got so popular, they sold it. I don't know how that works.
Well, you know, you try to cash in when you can, you know.
I guess so, like Ebony Magazine did, right?
Yeah, Ebony Magazine, Dr. Dre.
Said,
with
I'll never
Beats.
See that kind of money. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, you get mm-hmm. that. Yeah. Then you move on and invest in something else, you know.
Mm.
I mean, yeah, a lot of companies do that. It's not a matter of nostalgia, you know. You get that's nonsense. Anyway, well, you know, but when you can make the buck, may you make it. You know, I guess that's just the way it is.
Project. Yeah, you go on to the next project.
Yeah, find the next one. Mm-hmm. Or find someone. You know,
that was
someone.
Johnson & Johnson. Yeah, yeah. I guess, you know, having it for so long from what, the 60s, the early 60s. And if you don't see that, it's not going to be like a generational thing anymore after you. Your parents had it, your father had it, this, that. You see the next generation not interested, then you sell. Yeah, I see it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, that family business type thing, and that's, you know, it's a few out there. They're very rare
mm-hmm.
where, you know, this is a family business. It's going to stay in the family. But when you get to a certain point where it's big and they're willing to offer you, everybody got a price. So, hey.
That's for sure. I totally agree with that. Yeah, I totally agree. You can make, you know, your family's been successful with it. And if you feel like this money is going to keep your family afloat, for the next generation to the next generation, that's fine. Instead of working hard for it, you might, I take it now too. I would take it now too. Yeah. So that's my wrap up for Fashion Week. It ended and someone just texted me, said, well, what did you do? I didn't see any photos. I have a lot, like 50 something photos I have to post. So you can find us at www.thewaltweekly.com, Instagram and Facebook at The Walt Weekly, Twitter, Walt Weekly, and on all streaming platforms. You can find us on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your local podcasts.